Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, not necessarily in that order. Welcome to another episode, it must be Friday, of With All Dude Respect. That's right, With All Dude Respect, a show that answers the question, what's going on, dude? All right, this is Jim Ellis, I'm here on the West Coast, and we have Rick Wright on the East Coast. How you doing there, Ricky?
Howdy, James. I'm doing well.
Good. Any big news in your world?
Big news? The latest big news was yesterday I had a colonoscopy.
Oh, sounds like fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always fun when someone takes a long instrument and shoves it up your ass and then looks around and while they're up there, pulls out chunks of your colon for
that's
what they do. They literally go up with the camera light, they fill you up with air, and then they look around, and as they go all the way to the top, and on the way back they do biopsies just to make sure that, you know, something that they don't see, that just in case they miss it, it comes up in pathology. And I have, for our viewers if they did not know, I'm chronic ulcerative colitis. It's a disease. I manage it pretty well, thank God, because there's a lot of folks out there that struggle. And
is everything okay? Did you get results? How was the procedure?
So yeah, if you don't want to go into the whole big thing, it's my colitis is active throughout my colon, so that's not a good thing. And there is some significant scar tissue because I've had it probably for 13 years. But at the end of the day, the worst case scenario would be I'd have to take my colon out, and it's not like you don't die from the disease. It's just it's literally a pain in the ass. But I will speak, nothing urgent. I'll speak to my doctor next week and we'll do some different things with medication. And that's the update. So, you know, I had the prep sucks. For anybody's out there listening, do it. It's not that bad. The prep is the toughest part because you can't eat and you're shitting your brains out. But, like, the procedure itself is great because, like, that little, like, moment before you go out is, like, the greatest moment. Now I know when Michael Jackson was getting this shit pumped in him every night. And then the other thing is the meal afterwards. I had basically had a breakfast nachos, which was ridiculous. It was just phenomenal. It was like anything you could have for breakfast except for like pancakes and French toast, all over a bed of tortilla chips with cheese melted over the top of that, salsa and sour cream on top. It was awesome.
Well, there you go. Awesome. Well, thanks for the update there. You know, that's what this show's about as well. It's like whatever's up, whatever's going on, it's in the moment, we'll cover it, you know. And we do actually have a guest today. I wanted to mention that.
Very cool.
He's sitting in my living room. I'm going to go over there next. But I did want to mention what the topic of the show is. Masculinity and sensitivity carrying both into a co-ed world. You know, there's this idea of masculinity, you know, black and white, almost robotic, you know, masculine, no emotion. And then there's this world of sensitivity where you're kind of aware, you're intuitive and all that. How do you balance both, or should you balance both? I don't know. What do you think of when I bring up that topic?
I think, you know, I think you explained it very well. It's you know, it's like masculine. It's either you're masculine or feminine. And, you know, then it was great where you said, like, you know, a masculine man can be sensitive. And does that make him less masculine? So it's like, it's such an interesting conversation. And the one thing that was cool was the word you said was aware. And like, I've been my meditations and my reading, everything has been always focused around being aware. Like today's meditation was all around like being aware of thoughts, almost standing back and looking out at them. So it's interesting to find out, you know, the masculinity or sensitivity. And then are we going to be interesting to have Trittini on this call too, because where does this all fall in where the archetypes, but that could be another show, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's my two cents. How you feel? How you feeling about it?
Well, shoot, man. When I was a kid, I was all sensitive. I was all intuitive. I was all energy and all emotion. And I had to shut down because no one else in the family was really talking about it or dealing with it. So I thought I was actually losing my mind. I thought I was crazy. I'd ask, is everything okay? Yes, everything's okay. And I energetically, intuitively, everything about me said it's not. So I had two different realities going on. They're crashing in my head, and I was suffering a lot. So I had to deal with that. And so a lot of my healing work that I did in the beginning of, you know, my 20s and early 30s had to do with going inside and getting in touch and being, you know, in touch with the inner world. Well, check it out. I was so far on that side that I had no I was not making it in the physical world. I had no men friends. There was no masculinity energy around me. It was all soft energy, feminine energy. And I felt kind of lost until I found the men's weekend and my men's team. That was 1997, November 97. And so then it's like, oh, this is what I've been missing. So it was like the masculine energy. That's what I needed. And so I just dove into that. So I think there's a world of both, but I don't think to be intuitive or aware makes you any less masculine because you still bring that energy to it. You know, I think people like split it up. Feminine side, masculine side. You're one or the other. But there's a world where you can be masculine at the same time bringing those gifts. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring in our guest because here's a gentleman. I'll do his introduction right now. Here's a gentleman who I understand has been a policeman in the past. If you think of policemen, I don't think you're thinking of someone going, hey, how are you feeling, you know, after they stop you. And then now he's working as an energetic healer. So let me just go ahead and read his bio. Reggie McKeever is a holistic, intuitive, and teacher who has a unique gift to be able to ignite instant life transformation by showing you how to clear the energy of your past, push through the obstacles of your present, and get you on the journey to your new reality of living the life you really want. He has eye-opening exercises, meditations, one-on-one sessions. He's also a successful herbalist and spiritual mentor and entrepreneur and has served his global clientele for almost 20 years. He's in San Diego today because he has so many clients. He comes down from L.A.
Cool.
And I just think it's fascinating. So welcome, Reggie. And by the way, this is Rick Wright on the East Coast. So we're just speaking to the speaker here.
Okay. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Reggie, pleasure to meet you. How are you?
I'm doing great. The pleasure's all mine.
Excellent.
Can you Reggie, can you just give us a background of like where you came from, and especially around, I'm curious about the work with the police, because would you say that it's a pretty masculine environment?
I would say it's a lot of, you definitely get a lot of testosterone and a lot of ego. I've started law enforcement 19 years ago. I worked my way up from being a police officer to a sergeant, went from a sergeant to a lieutenant, and on the SWAT team. And that was pretty much my career. I pretty much seen it all, been through a lot of things, and helped change a lot of lives in the process. I was loving what you were talking about today, the masculinity and the sensitivity. And being a police officer, it was kind of the right but yet the wrong thing to do was to show emotion or sensitivity. And I think a lot of people still struggle with that today. How do you do what you do but yet sensitivity at the same time? What I've figured out is that sensitivity is not, it doesn't belong to females. Or it doesn't belong to just that species. It is something that belongs to both of us. And if we tie it into, well, if you're sensitive, then you have more feminine traits, I think it's more a heart thing. And sensitivity is how does ordinary things affect the heart.
That's good. Awesome. So when you were working as a policeman, did you... Like, were you, like, overly in the, were you less sensitive? Were you less intuitive? Did you feel any barriers and, then, like, kind of, like, not being true to yourself at all in that environment or not?
Well, I think the thing with being a police officer is that you see so many things. And most problems that we have in law enforcement, military service, is we have to find an alternate way of looking at bad things. And I think during a period of time, it dulls our senses, whereas we started out sensitive. Being sensitive, we're taught that there's a time and a place to show sensitivity. And if you're on a scene and you have to to uphold the law or create order, then you can't partake in the sensitivity of others. Let's say we go on a scene and someone has been shot or someone is dying, or you go on a scene where there is a child that is dying. At that time, society expects for you to show the masculinity. It expects for you to show your sternness, because people are looking at you to have control. But what happens is most of the things that we see, we just hold in and we learn how to block our sensitivities, and that causes other problems.
That's awesome. I'm thinking of, and you can jump in anytime, Ricky, but I'm thinking of football players. Like if you see a game that's going on, maybe a very emotional game, maybe it's a playoff, you know, a lot of high stakes to it. And during the game, it's game face, game face, game face. And then once the game is over, sometimes you'll see the breakdown, you know, like that. Now the game is over. Now the battle is over. Now I can actually feel something. Now, you know, I'm out of that zone of where I need to be. Same with the military. Yeah, if you're in battle, you know, you can't be all into this emotion. You have the job to do. And I think this happens with sometimes with fathers in relationships. Sometimes they're so much into the job they need to do that they might even miss out on the fact that the wife is so unhappy and she's ready to leave. I mean, that happens to a lot of men that we actually know about, you know. And so any ideas on that, like when you're, you know, in the battle as opposed to outside the battle, and, you know, when the emotions arise?
One of the things that I found out the most is that we have to create circles for each other where we can debrief or we can talk about how something affected us and what kind of lasting effect that it had on us. I think that we have to have circles to, I would say, embrace one another emotionally and allow an emotional space for us to say how a particular situation has affected us. And I think that once we start doing things like that, then it doesn't tie over to things like post-traumatic stress disorder or disorder within the relationships. And one thing I found out that PTSD is not just tied to military or police officers, but you can have ordinary people that had circumstances in their past that altered their ability or their way to show affection. And I think that anything that we suppress, anything that we don't show, it actually begins to destroy us from the inside. And I think that this is a great topic today because we do need to express our vulnerability and our sensitivity, and not thinking that our sensitivity is a feminine thing, because our sensitivity is a human thing, and we're all sensitive. We all see similar or go through similar events, but we're all impacted by it in different ways. And when we bring forums together to discuss the impact of those situations that happen, then we can have healing. Part of what keeps us prisoner is suppression. And when we suppress emotions, that energy somehow impacts everything we do. If we hold it in, it comes out in another area. We can hold it in on the scene, but we can also get home and have an explosive argument because we didn't release it.
Yeah, I just want to piggyback on that. I watched this really cool show on the whole history of the Navy SEALs. And it was one of the SEALs that came home, and he called it because he was, you know, he saw crazy shit. And when he came home, he had this thing called survivor's guilt.
Right.
So not only did he see a lot of shit, like, you know, just people getting, but he was so desensitized to it all that, because again, he shifted, you know, because he saw it so much. But then when he came home, he had that. And then on top of that, he had You know, he's like, how did I make it out? Like, there was firefights, guys, you know, 50% of them didn't make it out, and he's lost. Then he'd go on another one, you know, 20%. Like, he constantly just kept getting out. So when he got home and was discharged, he ended up becoming, you know, using and abusing drugs and alcohol because he had so much guilt for that. And because of all the suppression of being able to feel anything. So I think we got that down. So I'd love to hear on with your work, like, how do you shift that? How do you bring that back to where it's a manageable, healthy, you know, where someone has a manageable, healthy way of being and operating in society, you know, after all of that?
I think most important thing, especially for myself and others, is to create those communities where we're not imprisoned by our personal story. Once you bring people together, two things. You bring people together, and then you allow them to tell the impact of their story. So if you're okay, sitting in a seat and you had to take someone's life or take the life of many, and you're feeling lost because you survived a situation where others died, if you brought me into a room of other people that were there and each one of them have similar stories, then we begin to find our strength and we begin to find our bonding. Now I can let out the story, because if you notice that most people will tell you what they've been through, they don't want to talk about. Partly because they don't think that people would understand, and then they don't want to express their vulnerability because society teaches that you're supposed to be strong. So when you create an atmosphere, if he comes out of the military, hey, before you hit the street, before we turn you loose, we're going to require you to go here, and everyone there is telling a story. And when everyone can release that energy, then life can begin to happen for each and every one of them. So with me, it was I quit law enforcement to follow my path in natural healing. So at the end of the tour, it's, you say goodbye. Now, that's 18 years of being a lieutenant, 18 years of seeing bad things, SWAT team, and one day you change your realities. But when you change your reality, your past sometimes won't let you go. And I had to learn that. It took me a while. Monday mornings we had our administrative meetings, executive meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning. Every Monday morning I would wake up thinking I was late to work, or every night, at least three nights a week, I had nightmares about things that I've had been through in the past. And they didn't become real until I stopped law enforcement. I would talk to police officers on the phone, and they would cry and say, "We miss you." And then I'm crying, and I'm like, I want to be there. And what gives me the right to have a different reality when I should be out there? They could get killed, but it was my leadership. And through all of that, I've learned that for every walk of your life, you have to debrief, and you have to find understanding as to why you were there. What happened with people? People are going to do the things that people do. People are going to war. People are going to commit crimes. People are going to kill one another. I had to appreciate my place in all of that. And then I had to release some things. I saw things that I was not responsible for. I did things that I was not responsible for. And I had to learn to release these things so that I can move on with the rest of my life. Didn't even know that they would affect me in marriage. Didn't know that they would affect me in relationships. When I was in it, it was fine, but when I got out of it, it was the nakedness and what I felt, vulnerability of not having a unit or not having guys there anymore. So those are the things that I would struggle with until I had to come to closure. And when I had closure, I had to talk to other police officers who got out, who had been through bad things, and we formed bonds and fellowship, and we could fight and box and do things to help us release pent-up energy and that anxiety that comes from PTSD. We could let all of that stuff go and continue to live.
Wow. That's really cool. Thank you for sharing all that. So I got to ask, how do you know each other, Jimmy?
Actually, what happened is my wife, who's a manager of speakers and authors, she connected with Kim Coles. I don't know if y'all heard of Kim Coles. She's a comedian, hilarious comedian who was on a TV show called Living Single, popular from there. That was in the, I guess, the 80s? Anyway, 90s, sorry. Sorry, Kim. And Kim is married to Reggie, so we connected that way.
Ah, cool.
And Reggie happens to be coming down to San Diego with his healing work, so I said, hey, come on down, and we have this topic. It'll be perfect for our show.
Cool, yeah, because what it's reminding me of is, and again, we always seem to go back to this, and what we do, I don't know if you spoke to Reggie about, Mentor, Discover, Inspire, but it's sort of like that's our debrief. That's our circle. That's our, safe place. So, Reggie, I don't know if you know or not, but, we belong to a men's organization, Mentor, Discover, Inspire, MDI, and we meet, weekly, biweekly, whenever teams meet, and, it's when we're in the circle, one of the first things we do is take a oath of confidentiality, and we create a safe space. And men get to go to places wherever they need, if they're struggling at the marriage or struggling at work, struggling with their weight, struggling with their health, something traumatic happened to them in life when they were younger. Wow. It just, holding on to shame and guilt, there's ways to, create the space, and men have unloaded some, I've been doing this work now for 13 years, and I've heard some really, some really tough stuff. And the great thing was, was that you could see the shift in the man when he was able to release it and say it out loud and then heal it, in a safe, secure space. And it wasn't, and most of our circles, and I'll speak for mine, it's pretty masculine, but there is also sensitivity there. If a man goes to that place, we usually end up huddling around him, holding him. If there's a breakdown, we support the man. We let him know that he's not alone. And, and even like a lot of teams or men in my division, and I don't want to get into the whole thing of what MDI is, but whenever they say, if they're called in a roll call, cause we have like roll call too, they'll say their name, and then they'll say after it, I'm not alone. So it just sounds really cool that like what you're saying and what you're teaching and what you're promoting is something that we're, that we have and that we've been doing. So that's great. It's just a great little parallel. So I'm complete on that.
I love that. I love it.
Maybe we could bring in the whole boxing idea. Reggie's saying that he gets together with his friends and boxes. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm avid. MMA boxing 7 days a week because it helps release pent-up energy. And with all of these things that are emotional, stressful, it produces energy in the body, and there's no better feeling than punching your friend. That's the the best thing on earth. You can.
I love that. I'm telling you. So thank you, because I'm gonna say I had an expert on my show. He told me that one of the greatest things is putting on the gloves and beating the shit out of your friend, or beating the shit out of each other. And you know what? Here's the thing. There are times that I'm in a circle with a man and we can't get past something, and we're clean. Right. We call it a cleanup. And I've spoke my piece and my truth, and he's heard it. He spoke his piece and his truth, and we agree to disagree and move forward, and we're clean. But it would still be great to knock the living shit out of each other for, like 30 seconds. Just have at it with gear, full gear, 30 seconds. And then after that, it's done. But that's great. I'm going to see if I can get that, put that in our budget for the division.
Yeah.
We do have a division budget.
True. Well, I'm at the international level of MDI. Maybe I can get into the bylaws, it's got to happen.
That'd be
great. Well,
be great.
What's interesting is in the early, I don't know, you were around, Rick, weren't you, when, in the late 90s, early 2000, at least late 90s, it was pretty rough in our circle, because it would happen. If a man, man to man, if they couldn't get through an issue, I mean, they took it to the mat. I mean, it wouldn't be like violent, but it would be very physical, because you both knew there was this internal agreement. Okay, we're going to wrestle here. We're not going to try to poke eyes out or hurt each other.
Yeah.
But it would. Did you ever get into a wrestling match, Rick, just to get it out?
I've gone. I did see that back in the day, I'll say. And where men got physical, and it was usually Greco wrestling match. It wasn't like punching each other in the face. They would, and then I'll speak about me personally. I've gotten face to face and gone, had men have come at me and I've come at them, and heavy, like right almost to blows, but not to blows. But here's the thing. Even after that release, it felt good, but I think the physical part was missing. And I'm sure, you know, I'm not sure what happened. You know, men would always grab each other and you pull us apart, whatever it was. But it would, I would love to be able to just complete that in a safe space. So thank you for that. I'm going to bring that.
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing how much is resolved with men when you can just get a little bit physical and it's like, okay, let's go play some basketball now. It's like, it's over. But all you did was get it out of your body.
Yeah.
Is that, would you agree with that?
Get it out of the energy, get it out of the body. It does so many things. For those that struggle with their weight, it gives them a fun way to get to their perception or whatever they want to be with themselves. It benefits everyone. We're having healthy competition, but at the same time, we're confusing the energy that's causing destruction, such as anxiety within the body. So it's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
What I've noticed too, and actually what I've heard and learned in the past from my own healing experience, is once you get the energy out, what's really important and it's vital is to take new steps. Change your behavior, whatever created the frustration in the first place. If you've got to change the behavior, become aware of it, and then replace it with something very positive. If it's a love or affirmation or something, you got to replace whatever you've moved out through you, you got to replace it with something new. Because, or you'll just be wrestling Rick Wright the next week as well.
Right.
So we have just a few minutes left. I wanted to make sure we cover what needs to be covered. Now, so Reggie, in our organization, we have different dimensions we talk about with men. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the tough side, like maybe like the cop would be like strict, tough.
Mm-hmm.
And then another dimension we talk about is being really silly and having fun and
that's
laughing.
Right.
Men love that. And then another one is this deep care that doesn't always come out in the open and doesn't talk about, but this deep care that men have for their circle, their families. Do you work with people? Let's talk about with men. Do you work with them with the different dimensions or different ways of being?
Sure. It's. I always say pay attention to what you think, what you eat, and what you put out. And make sure that you express every emotion on the scope. And you have to monitor emotions and make sure that one is not backed up or one is not, you know, sitting idle. Everything we do, we should express it. Life messes up when we suppress, when we hold it in. That is when problems begin to start. If you feel anger, find a healthy way to express anger. If you feel joy, find a way to express joy. Life is about expression, and what kills life is when we suppress things. I think even if you go into Christianity, it says be angry but sin not. It says get the emotion out, but sin is when you begin to hold it in and let it eat at you and let it fester at you. And every time you open your mouth, it causes destruction.
Beautiful.
Good.
Thank you, Reggie. Hey, so we only have a little under a couple minutes here. Can you tell us how people can get a hold of you, Reggie, for your healing work or any other way? Is there a good way to get a hold of you?
Okay. If you want to get in touch with me this way, you can go reggie@reggiemckeever.com. That's R-E-G-G-I-E at reggie, M-C-K-I-V as in Victor, E-R.com, reggie@reggiemckeever.com, and we pretty much can go there. Drop me a message and tell me what it is that you need, and I'll show you how I can best serve you.
Beautiful. Awesome.
Excellent.
Well, there you go, Rick, another fastest 30 minutes of your life. How's that?
I know. Amazing. Great show. Reggie,
so,
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you both for having me. I really enjoyed this.
Sweet. All right, fans out there, fans of masculinity, fans of honor, fans of sensitivity, they can all have a place within you. If you want to get a hold of us, we're at Facebook. That's the best way to get a hold of us because we have a page there on Facebook. You probably have heard of it, facebook.com. I won't have to spell that for you, but I will. But I'll let you know, with all due respect, all different words, with all due respect, catch us there. And we're here every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us. Thank you, Rick. Great show. Thank you, Reggie.
You're
welcome.
Thanks,
to you all soon.
Take care, everybody.
See you, Rick.
Have a great weekend. All righty. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.